نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول الكريم وعلى ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My dear respected Muslim fellow brothers and sisters in Islam, if one was to examine what had taken place in the past week, one would realize that it was a replication of that which has been taking place throughout history from the very beginning of Islam until the very current moment as we talk. One group will praise Muslims and Islam, another group will take an active part in attacking it. We are not here to discuss those that praise it in this manner that we are going to give them praise. On the other hand, we are not going to look upon those individuals that attack Islam and thereafter place an attack on them. That's not the way we do things as Muslims. We have to analyze what is going on out there, and upon analyzing it, try to create an appropriate reality for ourselves so that way we can better ourselves as Muslims. Let's take for example the issue of the cartoon that resurfaced in the past few days. You get a group of people that want to take part in attacking that individual that has drawn a given cartoon. Islam does not condone, for example, the attacking of people in this given manner, number one. Number two, the justification that one can express themselves in any manner they so desire to teach Muslims a lesson that they must become more free and adapting to the given environment is an absurd idea, to say at least. First of all, let us examine what Islam teaches us. Islam teaches us you cannot attack any individual. You cannot attack any prophet, regardless of what that prophet had went through, and regardless of what prayer the prophet may have made in favor or against a given group of people. When you look at the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam did not praise those individuals that did not follow him. When you look at Musa alayhi salam, he didn't say, it's okay if the disbelievers disbelieve in the given creator, in our creator. In other words, he gave them a certain grace period, and when they did not oblige and they did not follow, an adequate curse was made on their given people. And this occurs repeatedly throughout history. As Muslims, never can we say Musa alayhi salam was wrong. Neither can we say Nuh alayhi salam was wrong, and the various other prophets as well. In fact, if we place an attack on any prophet, immediately our faith, our allegiance to Allah and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately becomes diminished. In other words, our faith becomes jeopardized. For example, if you see a fellow, whoever it may be, doing something that is wrong. As Muslims, we cannot even say, look at that person, he's a kafir. In fact, it can be appropriately stated, you cannot even call a disbeliever a kafir until that person has stated that they are kafirs or disbelievers. That is what our Islam teaches us. Islam also states, you cannot call another person a munafiq until that person himself says, yes, indeed, I am a munafiq. That is what our Islam teaches us. Now, on the other hand, when you come to what is known as Western civilization, we have to begin to ask ourselves, what is Western civilization? First of all, what does it mean to become civilized? Does Western civilization mean a fancy car, a fancy home? Does Western civilization mean a PhD? Does Western civilization mean talking in a fancy manner? Does Western civilization mean having meetings in a beautiful setting? Is that what Western civilization really means in today's time? My fellow respected Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam, The true definition of civilization in Islam means treating one another in a manner of mutual respect, not condemning people's religious beliefs, not picking on individuals' cultures, and making it such that we will depict anything and everything in that manner which is truthful. Let's come back again. Islam even states that you cannot make, even for example, a false joke. It's not that Islam doesn't like humor. Islam has no problem with humor. Islam at times will even sanction humor. But it states if your jokes are derogative in nature, if your jokes are to pick on a given individual, if your jokes are to marginalize a certain group of people, if your jokes have falsity in them, then it is said that that joke in Islam is forbidden. My dear respected Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam, when you analyze this cartoon that was shown repeatedly, mind you, its consequences have been devastating. Let's come and analyze it again on how these type of cartoons impact Muslims. Yesterday in the evening, there was a young fellow that came to the masjid. And this is what he says. He says, you know what, I want to change my life. This is what he says, I want to change my life. I said, wonderful, we all want to change our life. Now what's your point? And this is what he says to me. He says, I want to start growing my beard, and my parents don't want me to do so. And I want to start doing this, and I want to start doing that. All these things that are inclined towards religion. So I looked at him and I said, look, brother, because I don't know who he is, what he is, where he's coming from, what his background is. I said, take it easy, take it easy. I'm not saying don't keep a beard. By all means, you can start keeping a beard. But do it gradually, my friend. No one says you cannot dress the Islamic way. Do it gradually. No one says that you cannot work in a given environment. And he was working in an area that sold alcohol. I said, first find a new job, then you move on in life. If you are against alcohol, which you should be against, by the way. And he tells me, what is your problem? I said, what do you mean, what's my problem? And he takes out this cartoon pictures and he says, look what they are doing to Muslims. They are attacking us. They are picking on us. And you telling me to take things easy. There is something we learn from this. There is one group out there that attacks you and I. But this group does not realize that when this attack takes place upon us, when a false depiction of our Prophet Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam takes place upon us, it causes a group of us, it causes members of our community to go and begin to re-evaluate. Let me learn more about my Prophet of Islam. I asked this person, what do you know about the Prophet of Islam? I know he was a Prophet of Islam. I said, yes, I heard that. I also know that. Do you know the names of his family members? And he couldn't mention more than two or three names. I asked him, do you know the names of the children of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said he didn't know that. When I asked him, do you know who was the first Khalif, the second Khalif, the third Khalif? He says, no, I don't know that. But guess what he said thereafter? In my car, I just bought a book teaching me more about Islam. So on the one hand, you get a group of people that are attacking Islam for whatever reason. And this has been continuing, by the way, from the beginnings of Islam. On the other hand, you get people that are saying, you know what? Let us begin to re-evaluate these criticisms that have taken place upon us. So my dear respected Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam, on the one hand, we ought to be sad with a false depiction of anyone and everyone, including that of Prophet Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On the other hand, these various challenges should create an awakening in us. The Quran says, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. When this ayah is ever presented, people immediately say, no, 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 don't talk about it, don't talk about it. Now this ayah says, the word lan is used, never, it means never. And the Quran says, as far as the various groups out there, Jews, Christians, etc., they will never, the Quran says, never, ever be content with you, pleased with you. In other words, the Quran is saying, you may call yourself a Muhammad to Mo, You may turn around and say, I'm not a fundamentalist, so I eat this type of meat and that type of meat, or I do this and I do that, and I'm a very casual person. Some of us think that because we are casual regarding our deen, that people will accept us. And the Quran says, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى. As far as these various groups are concerned, the Jews and the Christians and whoever else is out there, they will never be pleased with you. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until the point comes wherein you totally abandon your faith. It is only after you abandon your faith they will say, yes, now my friend, you are part of us, come and join us. When you look at Denmark and its history, the Muslims over there have been quite very modern. I mean, some of you think you are modern, you haven't seen the Muslims of Europe yet. I mean, they have been modern, modern, modern. And we know what the Muslims in the various parts of Europe have gone through and been through. Folks, in America, I will say we have it rather and quite easy. And those Muslims have at times abandoned a great portion of the faith, so much so that some of them will say and have stated, and a great portion of them have stated, that we only at times pray once a year. Some of them have even came to the point of saying, we only prayed if we are 40 years old, we only recall praying maybe 5 to 7 times in our entire life. Despite them giving a great portion of their values to their environment, the fact that they aligned themselves with being Muslims, they were enough to be considered criminals. So my dear respected Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam, what we learn from this cartoon issue, other than the fact that majority or a great portion of media in that part of the world had published it, it shows a lack of sensitivity to a great population, to a significant number of people, and this is most unfortunate. On the other hand, it calls us, you and I, to re-evaluate who we are, what we are in relation to that of our environment, so that way we don't get sucked into a system to the point wherein we aren't able to make adequate and good choices. Another thing that we went through in the last week was the statement that was made by the Archbishop in Europe. And this is what he states. He states that Islam is compatible enough where, now look at the words, portions of it must be incorporated into the European system. He's not saying Islam must be infused into Europe. He is not saying that the method of governance in Europe must go under the Islamic system. Before we talk about that, we all will agree, let's say for example, me and you had a conflict. Hopefully we never have conflicts, but anyway, let's just say me and you had a conflict and we turn around and say, let's go to a third party and hand it over to them. What people will say is, this is a brilliant idea, there is no problem with that. Basically, what this Archbishop has stated was the following, that Muslims have certain issues within their community. Everyone has issues within themselves. So rather than non-Muslims creating a solution for Muslim individuals, let them go themselves to their own court system, to their own people, and resolve their own issue. That's what basically he has stated. Now we know in the area of marital conflict, there are things that come up. And many countries, mind you, Western countries, have adopted the policy that Muslims, Jews, various denominations of the Christian faith, rather than them taking their case to a group that does not understand them, take the case to your own people as long as both parties are accommodating and accepting of that fact that they can go to this given appropriate middle party to solve the issue. That's basically what this individual has sanctioned. As soon as he made this statement, immediately people began to say, we want his resignation, number one. Number two, they began to say things like, Islam can never come to the West. Islam is incompatible to the West. Islam must be taken out, and people must be taken out who has and have such a belief system. Why does the West go through so much pain when they hear the word Islam? Is Islam that bad after all? Let us ask ourselves a simple question. who are converting greatly toward Islam, and which parts of the world are going more toward Islam than other religions, number one. Number two, we have to come to the realization that the West is going through tremendous amount of pain and grief. Every time you go to the books of history in examining areas of growth pertaining to science, pertaining to mathematics, pertaining to astronomy, and various other aspects, the West has to be forced to realize that the roots and the spread of this education lies as a result of the great Islamic expansion and contribution. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, Muslims have to be made constantly to be made to feel inferior, because if they realize in themselves that indeed once upon a time we were a great group of people, indeed over a period of time we have collapsed, and it is now time for us to get up and realize that we have failed ourselves, failed our Creator, failed our environment, and it is time for us to become better, then the world will have a problem. Because it will mean now Muslims are becoming active in doing that which is good. So what they do is, when people make statements like Islam must be incorporated in certain systems, immediately an attack comes against Islam, making you and I feel inferior. So that way we begin to say things like, yeah, Sharia law has no place, we like democracy. Well, let me ask you a simple question. Is there a difference between democracy and hypocrisy? Is there a distinguishing factor between democracy on the one hand and doing things in an absurd manner to incite individuals to take part in that which is evil, corrupt? Of course, there is a fine line between these various facets and aspects. And finally, we have to realize as Muslims, yes, things out there will happen against us. It's nothing new. It happened from the beginning of Islam, and it will continue until the end of Islam. But what we have to realize is that when we see negativity, when we see hurt, when we see pain, let us ask ourselves, how did our predecessors deal with it, number one? And number two, how can we use this negative moment to become positive, to pass the good message, and to become not part of the problem, but to become part of the solution? Because we only have two options. If we accept that which is wrong, then you are becoming part of the problem. And on the other hand, if we evaluate that which is going out there, and we begin to shun it aside, then inshallah we can become part of the solution as well. And a final point to those people that are apologists. Remember, those of us that are older, that are moving towards our 40s and beyond, we are apologists. And that's the way it has been. But we have to now realize that the young ones are saying, enough is enough. We've seen our parents being attacked. We've seen our religion being attacked. And we've seen the previous generation just giving in, giving in, giving in. And we saw no benefit. Now we are going to take a firm stance in going to that which is good and trying to create a better environment for ourselves. And this is the backlash the West has to realize that it is taking part in. As it places unwanted attacks, you are now breeding a new society, a new community. So I will caution the West and say to the following regarding them and to them. As you attack the Prophet of Islam, as you attack Islam itself, as you attack core and fundamental values, don't think you are really attacking Islam, but you are doing a benefit for it. And my question to you is very simple. Was that really your intention? وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.